this was, it hasn't been now for a year, this was the notoriously lowest Sunday attendance all year long, each and every year for about 5 years going straight. And so I saw that and I said, no more, no more. Like we've got to do something about it. That there isn't a time to pull away. I know many times we think that, okay, there's this weekend, we got to get our last vacation in, or we got to get our school shopping in. And many times we'll do that in life. We will jump into stuff and we'll get so focused on it. Well, we learned from Peter that that's not a good thing to do. That we'll get so focused on the storm or so focused on what's next and we'll not press pause for God. And so we said, you know what, one of the busiest school before back to school Sundays before the year, we're going to make sure and give away free t-shirts to show people what is important. And really, we do this also to say why we do what we do. I don't know if you are Wizard of Oz fans where they pull back behind the curtain and you see everything that they're about, but that's what this Sunday is about each and every year. And so now today, when I say I love my church, right? We've got this very interesting design. Like it came out, and I wasn't sure like which one to vote for. There were all kinds of designs, and then this one had this heart that doesn't look like the normal pretty heart, right? Like this one is the heart that I would figure I would like find on Truman. Like if his shirt was open today, like this is the heart that I would think would be tatted on Truman. Like it wouldn't be like the cute little like Valentine's Day heart. That it would be this heart. And so as I looked at it, and as I thought, as if even before I voted, I was like, okay, that one says love, and that one's this, and that one's this, and that one's this. But this one really stuck out to me, because this heart is inside of our bodies. And without it, we're not going to be alive for that long, right? And it is the thing that pumps everything through our veins. It is the reason that we exist. It is keeping us alive. And so as we talk about, I love my church Sunday, I love this visual of the actual heart, the reason, the thing that's beeping, the thing that makes us do what we do. And I know we got all different types of church backgrounds and stuff in here. When I talk about church, I'm not talking about this building, right? This is not the church. This building, this drywall, this wood, this insulation, this is annoying. Let me tell you, like keeping up with this thing, and we were like crawling through the attics doing sprinkler inspections and all types of things this past couple of weeks, and paying way too much ungodly money to make sure that our fire marshal's happy. And like that stuff is the most annoying stuff in the world. When a fire marshal walks in and says, well, your beauty ring is missing up there, and so I'm going to fail you. There's going to be a $250 fine in 30 days if you don't have that fixed. I'm like, it is a piece of chrome, for crying out loud, right? Like, that's like a cop pulling you over because you're missing a hubcap. Like, you're seriously? Like, come on. Like, that is, like, he was ready to shut down the 4th of July fireworks. You are missing a beauty ring. I'm like, don't even. You got an extension cord going from your security camera to the plug. Never mind. I'm here to talk about Jesus. So I'm not talking about a building today. I'm not talking about a building. That's why when we put up the sign out there, notice, I don't know if you've ever noticed, it just says innovation. Because you're coming to innovation. This is where Innovation Church gathers. You are the church. I'm not talking about a logo, even though if you see Brandon Williams, just lift up his sleeve a little bit. He actually has our logo tatted on him, Truman. Like, it is there, like, on his arm. I was like, Mandy, we can never change that ever again. Like, that is not something we do. So I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about a logo. I'm not talking even about a Sunday morning routine. I'm ready to change that up because sometimes it gets boring. But I'm not talking about, like, okay, three songs and sit and stand and do this and do that. And communion on the first Sunday of the month. And I'm not talking, like, those things are good and routines are good. I love routines, but I'm not talking about a Sunday morning routine. I'm talking about a movement. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about a purpose. You know, when Innovation Church began, me and my wife moved here in 2010. Felt like God called us to move to the greater Lafayette area. We were like, why? We don't know anybody here. We don't know what we're doing. We are just youth pastors, and that's all I wanted to do was play Guitar Hero, Dance Dance Revolution, some Halo, like some pool, some internet cafe. That was great, seeing teenagers' lives change in basketball tournaments and soccer and introducing them to Jesus, many of them for the first time. That was awesome. And he said, plant a church. And I said, no, I did for a good, well over a year. And then we finally started talking to our pastor, and he agreed that God was moving. We talked to some mentors. Like make sure, like, when you're making some life-changing decisions, make sure and talk to people. Like, don't make that all in your head, because you that could be pizza or Taco Bell from last night, and that's never a good decision-making process. And so we got with some mentors, prayed for months and months and months, and then we drove to city after city after city in our little Volkswagen Eurovan, and when driving through Lafayette, man, he says, I think this is the place. I said, really? Why? I don't know. And when we moved here, we took the first year of just figuring out where we moved to. We didn't know anything. I'd get lost every day just so I could find my way back home, and so I could learn the roads, so I could see the city, so I could find out what and why. Every Sunday we woke up, and even though we were planting a church, we weren't planting a church yet. We took the first year and just visited church after church after church. And then we'd go back to work. Worked out at Subaru in the post-production, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, lots of Saturdays, right? And what I began to notice was maybe some of the same things you notice, that the people at my work weren't like the people that I was used to hanging around. They weren't my youth group kids. They weren't my church kids. They had some crazy weekends and some stories that they were telling, and some lives that they were living. And when I would go to church on Sunday, it was a whole different crowd. And I would ask people about church. I would ask people about their experience at church, because I'm going to talk, and that's just what I do. And I'm going to get to know people. And what I found was the people that I saw Monday through Saturday weren't the people that I saw on Sunday. I said, should it be different than that? Is there a place for those people? Started doing some digging, started doing some research, and many of you guys know it's on everything that we have. It's why our logo is the shape that it is. 67% of a circle is that 67% of our community right here in the Tippecanoe County don't attend church anywhere. And that was in 2010. 67% disconnected from church. What I found, that most of them, not anti-God, but disconnected from hope, disconnected from purpose, disconnected from God. It's not that they hated him or didn't believe in him. It's not that they even disliked Jesus. Now, maybe you have some people that are like that. They're like, well, I like Jesus. I like following Jesus. He's great and all, but I don't like the church. You know, that's great, but if you tell me you don't like my wife... There may be, well, Billy I like, but you know what? I don't like Mandy that much, right? That's the same thing, right? Because as husbands, when we're charged, you know, it's near that verse where it says submit to your wife, or your wife submit to your husbands. You know that one, husbands, right? But the verse right around that talks about husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Gave everything up, died to everything, his own desires, his own passions, right? When he was in the garden saying, Father, take this cup from me, right? That's how we're supposed to love our wives. And so if you're just one of those, well, I like Jesus, I just don't like the church, well, you're just dissing his bride. And so when I didn't see Those who I ran in with on Mondays, Tuesdays, or the neighbors I met, or the people I met at the gas station, or the people I met at Target while picking out calendars, I looked at that data and saw that 67% of our community was disconnected from church. And that's when we began to realize what God was stirring in us to create a church for those that don't like church. To do things that nobody's doing, to reach those that nobody's reaching. And you're here today because you matter. Not because you're a statistic, not because you're a project, but you're a person that God designed, that He shaped, that He formed on purpose and for a purpose. And so He says, you know what? Those 99, they've got it. Let's go after these ones. Let's go after these ones. So today isn't about hype. I believe it's about clarity. I believe it's about why all of this even matters. Because Jesus didn't die so that we could sing some songs, so that we could sip some coffee, so that we could go home feeling just a little bit better about ourselves. He died so that we could live on mission, with power, with purpose. That's just a shameless plug for the Life on Purpose series that starts next week. Let me tell you really quick about a time, my first time plumbing job. You know, I learned a lot of how to like take care of an engine from my dad because my car was always breaking down. I learned a lot of yard work, but I didn't learn a lot of plumbing. I'm sure he did it, and I'm sure he was a master at it, but it just wasn't a cavity that he invited me into. And so here we are in I don't remember which house, we've had too many, and it's leaking, right? And you like pull open underneath the sink and it's musty under there, and so you know it's been leaking a while, and you move everything out and it's like wet and damp, and like the little cheap press board and stuff is all bubbly and stuff. And so that was happening in my house, and I'm looking and I'm inspecting and I can't really see where the leak is coming from. And so like a good old redneck from Oklahoma, I know that I can find this silver glorious thing that I have on a shelf and spotlights pointing down on it called duct tape. Oh. That'll fix it, right? So I break out my duct tape, and I know that that's going to fix anything. And so I just begin to wrap and just wrap that sucker full of duct tape. And you know what? That didn't work. Everybody say wrong tool. Yeah, when you use the wrong tool for a job, it just doesn't work. Well, today, as we talk about this, I love my church. I mean, it worked maybe for 3 seconds, but water shot everywhere, back under the sink, soaking wet, holding a flashlight. It was one of those like little rings. It was cracked, and so it wasn't sealing, just in case you wanted to know what it was. But see, when we use the wrong tool for the job, like when we try to fix deep problems in our lives, in our society, in our city, with surface-level solutions like duct tape, we end up just making what I made, a bigger mess. But God doesn't use duct tape. He never broke it out to try to fix the world. He uses a tool, but that tool is you and you and you. That tool is the church. That tool is us. God's tool is the church. And if the church is God's plan A to change the world, then there is no plan B. It's up to us. Right? Luke 15, Jesus said, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one wanders off, what does he do? He leaves the 99 to go after the one. And I believe Jesus is always after the one. The broken one, the forgotten one, the skeptical one, the arrested one. He's willing to go after the one. And what I'm wondering today is, are we? Are we? Like, please, if you're not, then maybe don't get the shirt yet. Because this is who we are, and this is what we're about. When all the churches are going to do comfortable things, right? There's plenty of churches we found that are serving the 99, and they're serving them great. I love many of the Lafayette churches. But many times, those churches choose specific things to take care of the 99 instead of the one. I listed out a few of them. One of them is that they'll choose comfort over calling. The programs, the sermons, the systems are designed to keep current members happy rather than reach those that are far from God. You know, the "we've always done it this way" mantra. We can't try anything new. We can't do anything edgy. Why would we change up the paint on the walls? It's the perfect color. It's the godly color. Like, it is beautiful. They'll begin to choose comfort over calling. They'll choose preference over purpose, right? The music, the preaching style, the language are all tailored for those that are inside the building. This is why many churches, and why even a dear friend of mine's churches, didn't have anybody get saved in 10 years in their services, because he knew everybody in the room was saved. I challenged him, just do a month of salvation calls at the end of your message. You know what? They had somebody get saved at the end of that month, because somebody knew that they could bring their friend now that was unsaved, and that they could find Jesus and surrender their lives to them. Everything will be tailored towards the inside as the service comes to be more about feeding the already fed, and many times the overly fed, rather than reaching the hungry. It becomes about insulation over invitation. That little effort is made to connect with people outside the church. Even events are for members and members only, not the community. Evangelism becomes optional instead of essential. It becomes about criticism over compassion. People come more concerned with what others wear or how they act. Or that they, who are these people that are sitting next to me? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why do they smell the way they smell? Why are they holding hands with that person? The spiritually lost are viewed as problems to avoid instead of people to pursue. And the last one, the maintenance over mission. The energy just goes to keeping the calendar full, keeping the building clean, and keeping the members satisfied rather than mobilizing the body of Christ to reach the lost. It ends up just being a place where people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Let me be really clear. 67% of our neighbors, 67% of our fellow shoppers, whether it's Walmart or Meijer or Payless or Target, wherever you shop at, 67% of the people that are in the building, waiters, waitresses, doctors, pharmacists, co-workers, police force, 67% of our local government don't know Jesus.
Somebody probably said amen about that, right?
67% believe that church is irrelevant, boring, or judgmental. And that's who we're after. That's where we're trying to be laser focused. And that's going to make some of you a little uncomfortable, I promise. I promise. I almost try to do it sometimes. That means there's going to be a title to a sermon that you're going to be like, But literally, just a couple weeks ago, I had somebody in the room and I threw out a title idea, right? And one person, "Oh, that's too edgy." The other person was like, "Oh, yeah, my coworkers would come for that." So you may get uncomfortable when we do a series called Tattooed Jesus. It's already been done. Who knows if we'll do it again? It was fun. Or when we have a giant Geo Metro here up on the stage overflowing with junk from their trunk and talk about the junk in their trunk. Or the Mother's Day when we say, "That's what she said," and we talk about Esther. Or when we bring out a passage in Luke and talk about the mutter cluckers. About the ones that only want to come to church and gossip about other people's sins instead of dealing with the ones in their own lives. Because no matter what, When I look at Jesus, whether it's the Jesus film or the Passion or even just watching The Chosen, when I see him, he never looks comfortable on the cross. See, Jesus didn't save us so that we could sit. He saved us so that we could serve. That's why our greeting team, they're hyped up on excess each and every Sunday morning, and they're drinking those energy drinks and pounding those because they realize they've heard the stat that people decide whether they want to come back within the first 7 seconds, whether they feel welcome or not, whether they feel loved or not. That's why our event team is building tornadoes and mouse traps, and why the cafe team is here early grinding up coffee beans and serving coffee and bagels like their life depends on it. But it's not their lives. They realize that there's others, eternities, that just might. Whether it's a smile or whether it's a decor or a freshly mowed lawn, or a lightly toasted bagel. That there's walls that have been built up by the 67%, some of them over decades. And sometimes those come down in just 7 seconds because of how we serve and how we love. So our challenge today, or my challenge today, would be, are you willing to give up your comfort? Are you willing to give up your seat, your parking spot, so that somebody else could meet Jesus? There's some of you, like, this is like your second I Love My Church shirt, and you've never lifted a finger to serve anybody. That needs to change. Whether it's once a month, whether it's twice a month, three times a month. Like, how many of you guys enjoy our worship team? How many of you, anybody in here enjoy our worship team? They do a great job. You guys don't know they practice at home. They practice here on Tuesday nights. They're here at 7:30 while you guys are like all comfy up in your bed. And they show up week after week after week. And many of you guys haven't even lifted a finger. Jesus didn't save us so that we could sit. He saved us so that we could serve. And so that means we're going to take risk. Right? You walk through kind of our hall of values. Everybody does it every time they come in, but I just want to quickly just go over these because I'm running out of time. But Matthew 14:29 says, Jesus said to Peter, come, and Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on water. That's awesome. But he first had to get out of the boat. Is it time for many of us to get out of the boat? I believe the churches die not because God stops moving, but because his people do. Visited a church a couple weeks ago that was built in 1965, And they just voted to close their doors because they were tired. The grass earlier that week was over 3 foot tall. One neighbor that was walking by as I got to meet them thought that the place had been abandoned. Others knew the place was an eyesore to the neighborhood. It had deferred maintenance for over 10 plus years. Is that really on God, or is that, I've given you this talent, will you steward it? I've given you this gift, will you take care of it? Well, but we're old, we can't get there and up and mow the lawn. Well, yeah, it's probably because you didn't train up the next generation. You thought of kids as a bother instead of an investment. I could go on and on. I should have just like moved the service time so I could preach a long sermon here today. But just in case you guys were wondering, we're not here to stay safe. We're not here to play it safe. We're here to step out because we believe the ones are worth stepping out for. And we'll continue to try weird things. I mean, the ones over the summer so far have been put a playground in our lobby. That's about to get loud. And like, really, it is. Monday night, probably Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, we're going to finish it. And I would love to have like 8 guys send me a text right now, because those dang slides, we've got the slide. The hole is there, and we're ready to cut the hole in the wall. The slide weighs about 450 dang pounds, and it's really hard to put together. And whether you text me, whether you show up and say, I'll be here, but we're gonna be here about 5 p.m. every single night this week. My wife, no, my wife, not Monday, right? Why not Monday? Oh, groceries. Oh, I'm supposed to get groceries. Not Monday. I would much rather be putting up a slide than getting groceries. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 p.m. if you can make it, 6 p.m. if you can make it, 7 p.m. you can make it, 10 p.m. we'll keep going. We've set off the best fireworks show on the south side of Lafayette, and it gets better and better each and every year. Started a third service so that we could reach those that nobody's reaching. And have more people in our third service right now. It's averaging about 31 people. It's getting there. Did you know that 33% of the churches in the United States of America are less than 30 people? Just wait until you see what we do this Christmas. And people have wondered, why do you do all this stuff? Why do you say all these things? Why do you go to the extremes that you do? Because if one person meets Jesus, it's worth it. Changes everything. It changes their lives. It changes their family's life. It changes their family tree. Church should never feel boring, because eternity is far too important. So the risks are going to continue to be taken. You walk past another sign that said, we're better together. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one. If one falls, the other can help them up. It's one of the reasons I love my church right now. Because I'm not doing all the lifting. And I see time after time, you guys lifting one another up, holding each other accountable, mentoring one another. I'm so excited connect groups are going to get started, so those that don't feel connected can connect, can start to do life, because you start walking these journeys. There's one that's starting, I think there's even two groups, called Pain to Purpose. You remember Davey Blackburn that was here earlier this year? Don't worry, we're going to send out the link right before that one starts, because we need to start processing through our pain and seeing the purpose that comes out of it, that there was a purpose that we went through it. And how God wants to use it. He didn't cause it, but he dang sure is going to use it. But showing up matters. People don't stay at churches because of programs, though. They stay because of relationships. So we're not here just to sit in rows. We're here to get in circles. We're here to find people that are like us, that aren't like us, and do life together, because you were never meant to do life alone. We're truly better together. One of the ones you walk past, and one of my favorite ones, is that we follow Jesus, not just a trend. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. When Jesus was with the religious, he spoke their language, but when he was with the farmers, he spoke theirs. Here to say that we're going to change the methods. We always do. But we're never going to change the message. We follow Jesus, not culture, not politics, not popularity. Jesus, period. Now, many times we'll use culture to point to Jesus. I love redeeming the things of this culture, because, I mean, there are a lot of people that were like, oh, Ozzy Osbourne dead, and weeping and crying and stuff. And I believe Ozzy Osbourne had a gift from God. He just didn't use it for him. I believe every single one of you have a gift from God. Are you going to use it for him? Are you going to follow Jesus? Because when he grabbed the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you. What did he say I'm going to make you of? Fishers of men. Not fish. That was a stinky job. Jesus gave us two great commands and one great commission. He said, love God, love people, make disciples. And that's why we exist. connecting others to their unique purpose. We have an opportunity to connect with the 67 like nobody else. We don't have decades upon decades upon decades of tradition that we have to follow. We don't have a denomination that tells us what to preach, when to preach, how to preach it, why to preach it. And we don't have that. We don't have an expectation from others on how innovation is supposed to be because we named it innovation. That means we can change. We put the name out there up front, so telling you what it's all about. We're going to make changes, but we're going to change the method. We're never going to change the message. We don't do it for the numbers. We do it for the names. We do it for souls. For stories, like the teenager that found purpose just a few weeks ago at summer camp. And now every day is waking up and getting in his word and in his Bible to connect with his maker. As Jesus begins to lay out the steps now after high school, and he begins to say yes. The single mom who gave her life to Jesus after the church gave up on her. The couple who didn't get divorced because this church showed up and put a boxing ring in the center and got them on the same team again. Guys, I hope we're just getting started. But that we is still we. And so what is your part in this? Maybe it is to join a connect group. I believe those are supposed to be announced in just 2 weeks. You'll be able to walk out here. There's a whole new refresh, a connect wall. You'll be able to start signing up for those because they kick off here with football season. Maybe it's to join a serve team. That one's just simply texting the word JTH to 855-398-4752. Maybe it is to take the Next Steps class to figure out, right? That one talks about knowing God, how to know God, how to know innovation. It goes a little bit more in depth of who we are, why we do what we do, everything about that. You should take that, especially if you call this church. If you're saying, I love this church, and you've never been to Next Steps, you have no clue why we do what we do. You're going to be like, well, why aren't they singing hymns? Or you're gonna be like, well, why do they focus on this? Or why do they say this? Or why do they do this? Why do they do so many things for the community? You don't know that until you go to Next Steps. You're just going to be guessing or gossiping, and neither one of those things should be happening. And so you text the word Next Steps to 855-398-4752. Or take Next Steps, start serving. Maybe it's to start giving, right? Because none of this just happens. It only happens because we come together, because we pull our finances together. And we say, we love the 67%. Let's work together to serve them. And you start that. Maybe it's saying yes to Jesus today. Could it be time to start saying, I'm not just going to church anymore. It's time to start being the church. Because the world is hurting. The 67% are out there. And if you talk to Susie over at Murphy USA, she gets some of the tightwads and that are trying to find the best price on gas, and she would say, hey, that number is probably like 83%. I run into these people every single day. But the 67% are still out there. And I believe heaven is still cheering us on. But is that us, right? We come together to say, I love my church, and we show up for the free t-shirt, but do we really, like the heart that it is that what fuels us? Is that what's giving us life? Is that like, oh, I'm waking up on another Sunday, or oh, I gotta be back for church, or oh, the wife's taking me to church again? Or is it, this is pumping through my veins? Because God is the one who's given this breath in my lungs. He's the one that's given me life. So today you've heard statistics, because I'm a statistics guy. You've heard the mission. You've even heard some stories. But where do you stand? Where do you stand in all this? And I'm not asking if you've gone to church before, because obviously you showed up today, so you've made one at least, right? You maybe have gone to church or sat apart within a group of people that were the church, but I'm not asking today if you've done even more good than bad. I'm not asking any of those things. I'm asking, where do you stand with God? Maybe that's the first part, right? Maybe that part. Have we surrendered our heart and lives over to Him? Or is this just a Sunday thing? Is this just the cute little heart, right, on the T-shirt? Is this just, I love ice cream, I love puppies, I love church, right? Like it's in that type of list. Or is it maybe this type of heart, that it is everything? I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all that mind, with everything that is within me. Well, Romans 10:9 is written out, I believe, for you and for me, where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you'll be saved. See, that's way more important than belonging even just to a church. It's belonging to Jesus. That's the reason this church exists, because there's people that need to belong to Jesus. Jesus didn't die for a building. He died for people. For the hurting, for the doubting, for the addicted, for the skeptic, for the overwhelmed parent, for those that are in jail now, and for those that have gotten out. For those who feel forgotten, for those who have tried to earn love but have never felt enough. He died for you. Not to invite you into a religion, but into a relationship with Him. And maybe that's your next step. Maybe the other next steps, those are to come. But if you've never made that, if you've never had the boldness to get out of that boat, of the boat of, I'm going to do things my way, I'm going to follow this world. But today, maybe Jesus is saying, hey, come on. There's some people that get you, right? Walk out with them. Step out of the boat today. Step out of this world and into the life that I have for you. If you're here today and you're ready to take that step, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, I want to thank you for making your way into this place. I know many times that can be intimidating. Oh, there's a steeple there. Oh, there's a building. Oh, there's a this. Oh, there's a that. But maybe today, whether it was a time of communion, you had a little cracker, some juice, maybe it's the many times we've talked about Jesus today. Maybe it's you know where you've been and you're ready to not go back there any longer. But you know that there's a step that's to come. Maybe it's the step to come home to the one who made you, the one who shaped you, the one who formed you while you were still in your mama's womb, the one that loves you and still has a plan and purpose for your life. And I know you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Billy, you don't know what I've done. I don't, but God does. And He's made a place that welcomes you. And if He's made a place for you to meet Him, then why not reach out to Him? Why not take that step and invite Him to be your Lord and Savior today? If that's you, if that's the step that you've tried to jump past, that you've maybe done the cute Valentine's Day heart instead of the true heart change. Would for a moment, would you pray this prayer? It's a simple repeat after me prayer, and don't worry, you won't be the only one saying it, because that whole better together thing that we talk about, we put that on display at the end of every service when we say this prayer together as a church, because we're here for one another. And so today, if you're ready to take that next step, ready to say yes to Jesus, ready to invite Him to be your Lord and Savior, He doesn't force Himself upon you. He's a gentleman. Would you pray this right where you're at? Pray, dear Jesus, I know I need you. I've tried doing life my way, and I'm tired. I believe you died on the cross for me, and that you rose again. And today I ask for you to forgive me of my sins, to save me, make me new, and give you my life from this day forward. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just prayed that prayer?